When we gathered together over there, a couple of people said, "What are you preaching on this morning?" And this is what I did. I don't know why, this one's been a little more challenging and whatnot, but I believe that after much, God's given us something pretty good this morning. So let's pray before I get started, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your house, for your word, the path that it is for us. Help us to continue to walk in your light each and every day, that with everything that we do, we may be found serving you and not ourselves. In your name and for your sake, we pray. Amen. Okay, so last couple times I've spoken, I talked about hearing and listening, the difference between the two, and the necessity, and it is a necessity, to be a good listener. Wait until somebody else completes their thought, and not predetermining in your mind what you're going to say, and having that run through your mind while they're talking to you, because it is impossible to listen well if you are formulating an answer in your mind while somebody else is talking to you. So I hope that you're continuing to work on that, because it's a very important part of personal and relational growth. And the thing is, that dynamic is the same dynamic that exists between God and us. Sometimes we can't hear them because we're too busy talking over top of them. Sometimes we can't hear or listen because we're too busy forming our response instead of listening. We read and talked about James chapter 1, verses 19 to 26. I just want to read. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I do want to read verses 22 to 25, because it is extremely pertinent to what I'm going to discuss today and to us daily as believers. Verse 22, James chapter 1 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." It's our responsibility to read, study, pray, and apply God's word in some way, shape, or form every moment of every day. Every moment of every day. That is a tall task. What's going on here is, you know, you think about the careless man who looks in the mirror. The mirror is the Bible, the Word of God. The careless man looks in the mirror and he forgets what he looks like. Means he hasn't learned anything. He hasn't gotten anything out of what he just read. The man with integrity looks intently with deep purpose into the Word of God, the mirror, and acts on what he sees or reads. He finds ways to improve and obey, follow God with more authenticity. He becomes a listener and a doer by not forgetting what's been heard. So where are you? Where are you in your progression? Are you better off than you were a few months ago when we sort of started this, or are you still being a little complacent? Well, the important thing is this. The important part of listening to the Lord's intervention in our lives is that in some way, shape, or form, we're going to come across people daily. So what's our example in those interactions? What will they leave with after they have crossed our path? One example of listening, and a highly significant example, is being prompted by God and the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, there's a couple words for time. One is chronos, which means linear time, you know, today, yesterday, next year, past, present, future. There's also kairos time, the right time, the opportune time, the perfect time, whether it's in a season or at a specific moment. Kairos time is absolutely and positively crucial. Ephesians 5, we read it today, 15 to 17, again says this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. In Ephesians, Paul's writing to Christians about God's eternal purpose to establish and complete his body, the Church of Christ. Paul talks of being saved by grace, being united in one body, spiritual gifts, and lots of other topics related to Christian living. The first four chapters are quite intense, and they're really descriptive on this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through chapter 6, verse 9, Paul talks of behavior from which we are to refrain, such as sexual immorality, greed, unwholesome talk, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, all forms of malice, and the list is endless. You can read it. At the end of chapter 5, into chapter 6, Paul gives us hope through divine instruction on how to live in Christ and be guided by the Spirit so that we may live lives that are reflections of just how much Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 15 says, to be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. In order to be prepared for opportune times to serve, it is imperative that believers are wise as opposed to foolish. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. It'll be given to him. However, you can't be a doubter and double-minded, or you'll be seen as unstable. Here's one reason why that's important. Let me read you something. This is from a man named Bruce Lockerbie, who was a professor at Wheaton College, and he also worked at the Stony Brook School as a dean. And he talks about wisdom briefly, looking at Proverbs 1-7. 1-7 says this, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudent to the simple knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so he wrote a little short commentary on that little portion from Proverbs. And I want to read it to you because it is highly pertinent to right now. So let me share it with you. He says, how can we prevent ourselves from creating resentment in our children? Only by obeying the word of God and staking our lives on its truth. If indeed the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, then before any father can disperse advice on doing what is right and just and fair, as it said in verse 3, he himself must know the meaning of that reverential awe and the wisdom to which it leads. Now, that's pretty powerful stuff. The goal of a father's godly instruction must be this spiritual insight called in Proverbs wisdom, knowledge, or understanding. But this wisdom isn't a scholastic accomplishment measured at an Ivy League school by high scores. The true test of knowledge, according to Proverbs, goes beyond academic achievement to moral responsibility. It zeroes in on decision-making and shows itself best in the disciplining of the character. This results in a disciplined and prudent life. To live prudently means to think clearly about one's choices and arrive at decisions controlled not by whim or appetite, but by an understanding of the difference between right and wrong. This is what Proverbs also calls discretion or discernment. What we're talking about then is instruction that prepares a child to make wise choices, to be discreet and discerning. Such instruction doesn't presume that the child somehow already knows what's best. So, from the earliest years, children must be taught and trained to tell the truth rather than lies, to respect the property of others rather than take for themselves, to keep from harming anyone else, to hold the miracle of life, whether animal, vegetable, or human life, in the highest regard. Sound pretty pertinent? That's our responsibility. Good insight. Now, his words are right there, are not biblical per se, but Proverbs 1-7 inspired him to write that as a response. Dr. Charles Stanley, I'm sure many of you know who Dr. Charles Stanley is. I enjoy listening to Dr. Charles Stanley. He says the definition of serving and being led by the Holy Spirit is this: it's to walk in the Spirit and live moment by moment in dependency upon Him, sensitive to His voice and in obedience to Him. Let me read that to you again. He says, to walk in the Spirit is to live moment by moment in dependency upon Him, sensitive to His voice and in obedience to Him. So when we do this, we should expect to be blessed when we follow the Spirit. So a couple things to remember. Number one, when you do that and you expect to be blessed, it's not always going to happen right then and there. It's not always going to happen immediately right now. I'll give you a perfect example. Well, it's not a perfect example. It's an example. Let me give you an example. So I told you before, when we left Florida, we decided to move. I had to walk into the principal's office at my school and inform my principal that I was leaving to come to Pennsylvania. I had an assistant principal job in my hand waiting for me. And I walked in and I said, you need to sit down. And so she sat down. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm moving to Pennsylvania. Now, she and another administrator had invested a lot of time in me and preparing me to do what I was about to do in the state of Florida. So basically, she thought that I had lost my mind and I was giving up way too much and it made no sense. And I said, well, that might all be true, but God says otherwise. And she's a believer now. Okay, I'm speaking to a believer. I'm not speaking to someone who is not. So then her next response was, well, why would you want to leave what you have established here and go all the way up there, and you get to prove yourself all over again? So I said, well, that's never been a problem, and I don't see it as a problem moving forward, because, again, we're being told to go. So the argument was over, even though it wasn't much of one. But I do have to say, after we finally made the decision to leave, I have to say that there were several times immediately afterward where I questioned whether it was the right thing to do or not, because it was difficult to move. We were deeply connected to the community, to the church, etc. However, I can tell you this for sure. Since we've been here, my, have we been blessed by many of you in this room, this church, the community, in ways that it's hard to believe at times. So you're not always going to see the reward, the blessed thing from the Lord immediately. We have to wait, be patient, and trust and know that in His time it will come. And it does. It does come. I could share many examples with you, some I've shared before. So we're going to move on to the next one. So just remember, you're not always going to be rewarded on the spot. Secondly, sometimes the Spirit moves you, and it's the least expected time. You ever had that happen? It happens. And I can remember in 1999, we just moved back here. So my dad was excited about that because he took his sons to a NASCAR race, and we went up to Michigan. My two brothers, myself, and my dad. We had a great time. That was 1999. So in February of 2000, my dad was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. We had already gotten the tickets to go again in the year 2000. So August rolls around, Dad can't go. My uncle and my brothers and I went to the race. And my dad said, go. It'll be fine, because he couldn't move, literally, much at all. So we go, and I will never forget this as long as I live. My brother and I go to bed. And I woke up about 4 a.m, just feeling so guilty. Excuse me. I said I wouldn't do this to myself. So I woke up about 4 a.m, and I just couldn't sleep. And I felt just bad about the fact that we were there, we're going to have a good time, and my dad was not. It just wasn't fair. You know, God, why is this happening? Blah, blah, blah. And I just had all this mess running through my head. And I'm literally laying there staring at the ceiling. I tilted my head to the right, which is the direction that the door to our hotel room was. And there on the wall were 3 crosses. 3. The 2 on the outside were burnt orange. And the 1 in the middle was pure white. And I said, okay, Lord, I get it. It's going to be all right. Don't worry anymore. All right, I'm going to quit worrying. And I did. I quit worrying. I often wonder why I didn't wake my brother up, who was in the bed next to me, and say, hey, you know, look. But then again, maybe it was only meant for me. I don't know. It was interesting. Another good one for you. Judy's dad was in World War II. He served on the Intrepid, an aircraft carrier. It now sits in the Hudson River in New York City. And the Intrepid was commissioned in 1943, in the middle of World War II. It had been kamikazed 5 times. One of the times that was kamikazed, I'm going to tell you about right now. So Judy's dad, Don, had 2 aunts who never married. They lived together in the same house. And one evening during World War II, and when Judy's dad was on the Intrepid serving in the Pacific, the one aunt was awakened in the middle of the night, and she went over to get the other one out of bed. And she simply stated, quick, we have to pray for Don. So they got up. That's exactly what they did. Don was on the deck of the USS Intrepid when it was kamikazed by an aircraft. And at the last minute, he was able to, along with one other sailor, secure safety using a ladder while a kamikaze was about to strike the Intrepid. So it hits. He comes back on deck, and all of the men that were nearby, a lot of which were his friends, had perished. They were gone. So he was one of just a handful of survivors from that attack in that specific general area of the ship, and he never got over it. So later, it was learned that the aunt, who was prompted to pray after being awakened in the middle of the night, happened to be praying while at the approximate precise moment, halfway around the world, Don was trying to find a way to be safe from a kamikaze. And he came away unscathed. Now, how does that happen? How does somebody halfway around the world get awakened in the middle of the night to pray for someone who's in the middle of strife, and yet they know not? Why? The Holy Spirit, that's why. Prompted. It happened because the aunt was prompted, and she became obedient. So just how important is that? And why is it important? Well, think about this. If Dawn's aunt had not been obedient, maybe the story doesn't end that way. Maybe her dad doesn't come home. And if he doesn't come home, then he doesn't meet the woman of his dreams, my mother-in-law. And if he doesn't meet my mother-in-law, there's no Judy Brooks Etter over there. And if there's no Judy Brooks Etter, then there's no Jennifer Etter Lutz, and there's no Ryan Etter. And if there's none of that, then I'm not up here talking to you on this day right now. That's how important and significant it is. That's the kind of stuff that happens in our lives when we're obedient, let the Spirit guide us. Our small, obedient, godly actions affect many down the line in ways that sometimes we'll never see. And that's okay, really, because the story is not about us individually anyway. It's about being used by God to glorify Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. So, when God prompts you, do it. If you're to pray, then pray. If you're to give money, give money. If you're to give time, give time. If you're to serve, serve. The reality is, to be used by God, we must be listening to Him to be able to get the message. Otherwise, we're just another ship afloat without purpose. Verse 17 says this, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." In other words, be filled with the Spirit to such a degree that you understand those promptings and His will for your life. And you're identifying and are identifying when He's attempting to get your attention. We then become light, as we spoke about prior in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read that a little bit for you again. It says, "For when you were once darkness, but now you are a light in the world, in the Lord, live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" As we mentioned previously in James, since light pushes out darkness, the man in the mirror can see himself. When we look in the book, you should see yourself. We can evaluate and assess in light of the Word, and we can improve. It makes no sense to look in a mirror in the dark. What are you going to see? Nothing. Reality is still hidden. Anytime we choose to live in the dark, we can't grow and be better prepared to be used by God to reach others for Him. People are naturally drawn to light. If they're drawn to us and see light in us, it might just provide an opportunity to speak into their life. And the thing is, who among us knows when that's going to happen? We don't. Thus the necessity of being prepared. Let me tell you another one. This one blew my mind the first time I heard it. So some friends of ours from Florida, and this happened well before we moved there, their daughter was murdered. So at the viewing, one of the folks that came in to console the family was just absolutely hysterical, distraught, any word that you can think of, frantic, walking up to the mother of this child that had been murdered. And this went on for probably 30 to 45 seconds, I remember her telling us. And she said she just felt this prompting from the Lord. She took this person by the shoulders and grabbed a hold of them by the shoulders and just held them firmly and quickly. And in that time said, "Remember, God is good." Now, you know, their child is laying behind them, having been murdered. She said, I don't know what did it other than the fact that God took over and gave me comfort and told me the right thing to say. She was a light at a very dark time in her life, in that moment. So we need to live in the light, the guidance of the Spirit, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Expose them. We have many fruitless deeds being exposed in our culture today. The time is ripe for us to continually read, study, pray, and apply God's word. Because when we do that, especially in times like that, others just have a hard time understanding how we can be so calm and collected amid all the noise. Mindless living is just not tolerable. It just can't happen. I can remember being 18. Can you remember when you're 18? Anybody in here 18? You guys are close? Maybe. And I'd listen to some music, and man, I'd in this ear, out that ear, you know, because I like the song. And then you're like 35 or 40, and oh, is that what that song means? I didn't know that. Doggone it, I probably shouldn't have been listening to that. I'm sure we've all done that. We can't live like that, though. We can't live like that on a daily basis. You know, mindless living is just not tolerable. I used to explain to my students at school, I'd say this, and I meant it, too. I would say, if you're willing to walk around daily, not being able to think for yourself, unfortunately, there are plenty of people in this world who will happily take advantage of your lack of cognitive exercise. Well, what's that mean, Mr. Edder? It means you have to think and use your brain. God gave you a brain. It's your responsibility to use it according to His will for your life. Otherwise, someone else will be willing to use it and or abuse it, because they will. What deeds of darkness do we have now that interfere with God becoming more deeply ingrained in our life through the Spirit? When God prompts us to do something for Him, do we listen or do we postpone it and get to it when we can? Unacceptable. Verse 18 of chapter 5 then speaks to being not given to drunkenness. Well, why? Well, alcohol is a depressant. It loosens people up because it depresses their self-control, their wisdom, their balance physically, the general control of their body, and their judgment. I got whacked by somebody in a car who was drinking, so I can tell you that it impairs their judgment. The Holy Spirit, however, has the exact opposite effect. The Spirit is stimulating, and it moves all aspects of who we are to become better and improved in order to serve the Lord better, and most importantly, above all, obediently. We become improved thinkers with self-control that often leads to sound, godly decision-making. I want to read that again. We become improved thinkers with self-control that often leads to sound, godly decision-making. So sandwiched here in the middle of all of this that Paul's been talking about, again, is verse 15. I want to read it to you one last time. Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Whether it's a season or a specific moment, we're to make the most of every opportunity. I'm sure a lot of you know who Matthew West is. He has a song called The Beautiful Things We Miss. Have you heard it? If you haven't, YouTube it and listen to it, okay? I'm telling you, that's your homework. And as the principal and former teacher, Rock, I'm giving you homework, right? Listen to it. Here's why. It's kind of pertinent to what I talked about today. Let me just read you the chorus. I'm not going to sing it. Sorry. I want you to stay for the last 10, 12 minutes. I don't want you to leave. But I want to read this to you because, you know, as you get older as I am, words to a song mean something different now. And I love this chorus. It says, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to look back someday and find everything that really mattered was right in front of me this whole time. Open up my eyes, Lord. Keep me in the moment, just like this, before the beautiful things we love become the beautiful things we miss. I hope you go home and listen to that. When we stay tuned in to the Holy Spirit, we'll catch those moments, the promptings when He speaks to us, and then we'll be used to glorify God in a way that only God can orchestrate. We're not going to always understand it. Nonetheless, it is crucial to be obedient. God might just use you as an instrument to be the difference maker. Do you believe that? I sure hope that you do. Because guess what? There's many watching us.